that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Everybody, one and all, and welcome to the Fan Fight Podcast. I am Danielle, and I am joined, as always, by FanBite's wrestling section head, LB Hunk Tears.
What's up, Danielle? Hello.
How you doing today? How are you going? That's what British people say. They say, how are you going?
It's hot. It is hot here in Southern California. It's going to be like 96 tomorrow. It's going to be in the 90s today. I don't like
That's
it.
Hot.
I live in That's the hot. Valley, which is the hottest part of LA, and I don't like it. I don't want it to be hot anymore.
That's really hot. I can't even imagine. It's like 45 here right now.
See, that sounds
which
too
is
cold.
It's actually a little cold for this time of year, but it's not like unnaturally cold for us this time of year. That's April is like it might be snowing or it might be 82, and I was in New York
in April last year for WrestleMania, and
sure.
That was when I realized I will never give anybody shit for being a mean person from New York now, because being in New York's really hard. Like, it would be 75 degrees, and if there was like a cloud over the sun, I would be too cold. If the sun was directly on me, I'd be too hot. How does that work?
It's miserable, actually. There are about 3 days out of the year that are nice.
And this is when it was nice. Nice is hard.
Even when it's nice, it's hard out here. It's true. We were talking in like FanBite Slack the other day about San Francisco. And I used to live there for a few years. And like, I miss a lot of very weird things about living there. I primarily miss the hills because I love running on hills because I'm a weird freak person.
Once I drove up to San Francisco I was so sweaty. I was standing on a hill in the Mission District and I slid out of my shoes because the hill was so steep and my feet were sweaty.
Oh, no.
I just slid right out. That's not good.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, that tracks though, because We got some big hills there, and I miss them so much. But, like, also, San Francisco has turned into a really scary and weird place, I feel like.
Well, next time you come to L.A., I will make sure to, like, get me on the case for finding you a place to stay. Because we actually have some steeper hills here than any hill in San Francisco that are residential streets.
I love that.
Yeah.
That sounds great to me. I don't like going down them. I only like going up them.
You're a freak.
I'm weird. It hurts my knee to go down them. But it feels great to go up them.
Running up that hill, Danielle Riendo story.
Running up that hill. Yeah, that's me. That's what I do. And I guess we should talk about what we do here on this podcast. Sorry, I have notes in front of me. We discuss all things punchy, kicky, and wrestly, which means pro wrestling and MMA. And normally every week we do sort of exchange between fans of these two great art forms. Myself being the sort of MMA fan and LB being the pro wrestling expert. But this week we have something extra, extra special. LB, you brought two excellent mid-90s pancrase fights to the table today. Two relatively short but incredibly intense and action-packed fights.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about Pancrase, because Pancrase still does exist, but I think it's just...
It's different,
pretty straight MMA now, and I don't... I don't know the history. So if you want to give me a little bit of backstory on what Pancrase was in the mid-90s.
So let's take it back to the two guys who were basically, like, headed the company. Masakatsu Funaki and Minoru Suzuki, who we watched fight each other. Whoa, a giant crow just almost flew into my window. And
oh, my God. That's a sign.
very intimidating.
That's a sign that Pancrase is, like, still alive with the spirit of that crow, I feel like.
Fuck, that is, thing is huge. Okay. Sorry, do you ever just get intimidated by a bird?
I mean, birds are very intimidating. They have no respect for personal space. They poop on you. Like, it's a lot, you know?
Okay. Sorry about that.
Oh, so, you're fine.
Funaki and Suzuki were these two... Are these two guys who trained under this guy, Antonio Inoki, who ran a company that still exists called New Japan Pro Wrestling, which you watched in the first ever fan fight episode.
Yes.
Inoki was really, really into, like, shoot fighting, like, mixing pro wrestling with real fighting. He had a bizarre fight against Muhammad Ali that... in the 70s that people, like, my dad talks about it. He's like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So they're, like, interested in pro wrestling being, like, real pro wrestling. So okay. Shoot pro wrestling. What would that
so
be?
So an unscripted, an actual physical contest.
Yes.
But with, so, like, promos and walkouts and things like that.
And just, like, the showmanship.
Okay.
They, like, Suzuki's, it was a student of this guy, Carl Gotch, who did, he wasn't British, but he's, like, associated with, like, a very, like, British-y, European, like, real wrestling, pro wrestling, grapply style.
Okay. Okay.
And again, nice. I'm not an expert on any of this stuff.
That's okay.
But I'm doing my best here.
You know
so,
more than me.
Yeah.
So I love it.
So they found this company in the early 90s, and it's not all real. So there are some, there are a few predetermined outcomes. And actually, one of the things I sent you was a predetermined outcome.
Okay.
And I'm curious to know if you could, like, tell what was what from watching it.
I'm
as an actual grappler.
Completely guessing. Don't actually know this. Was the Ken Shamrock thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's the one.
Okay. That's just he was a guess. About to, I don't
he was about to go to UFC.
Okay.
So he needed to drop the title before going to UFC.
Gotcha. Okay.
And again, like, finding out what's what is pretty hard because the people who are, like, the people who are 90s Japanese wrestling fans are. There's a lot of them and they're very intense, but it has to, it's like very much part of this like forum message board news group based style of internet use.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Pancrase even more so because it's like not exactly pro wrestling.
Okay.
And it's not MMA either. It's this like, I mean, they're like, their catchphrase was we are hybrid wrestlers. So it's this like hybrid, the whole point is it's this hybrid wrestling style thing.
Okay.
And yeah, now it is a mixed martial arts promotion purely. But
gotcha. Yeah.
Mixed martial arts didn't totally like, when does UFC 1 happen? That's like 90.
It's 93?
93. So same time.
Yeah. Okay.
But like figuring out the rules as we discussed in episode 7?
Yeah.
Episode 7. Yeah. The rules. It took some time to figure out the rules of MMA.
Yes.
Even for UFC. So UFC 1 happens in on November 12th, 1993.
Yes.
Pancrase 1 happens when? Also 93.
Okay.
September 21st, 1993.
A couple months apart.
Yeah.
Wow.
So really, really close. Interesting that this, like, of this zeitgeist of 1993 fighting promotions.
Yeah.
So yeah, the rules have not been figured out yet. So the original rules of Pancrase were as follows.
Yeah.
It was, you could win by points or you could win by submission.
Okay.
Daniel, you saw because you watched these. They're in a wrestling ring with ropes.
Yes. Yes.
And We didn't watch any, both matches we watched ended in submissions.
Yes.
But there are matches with points where if you grab the rope, like if you can break a submission hold by grabbing the rope like you do in pro wrestling.
Oh, wild.
But if you grab the rope, you forfeit a point.
Okay, okay.
And then a wrestler who gets, like, after a certain number of rope breaks, you lose.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm also, thank you to the Pancrase Wikipedia page
thank
for
you.
Being very clear and easy to understand. And no offense to all those message board threads I also read that were way less clear. Nothing but respect to you, message board people.
Thank you, message board people. Thank you. Thank you.
And I want, is Funaki still wrestling? I don't think so. Is he? Yes. But not a ton. Okay. But he's also acting.
Good. Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, we should probably introduce the two that we watched.
Okay. Let's do that.
Well, we have Ken Shamrock versus Minoru Suzuki in Pancrase. I think that was a 1995
yes.
match. Okay. And then we also had Pancrase... Masakatsu Funaki versus Minoru Suzuki. So both Minoru Suzuki's, and this one was 1994 match.
Yeah.
The Funaki versus Suzuki match ended in a rear naked choke, it looked like to me. And then Shamrock versus Suzuki looked like a knee bar or
yes.
a straight ankle lock. It's a little hard to tell from the ankle, from the, not the ankle, the angle, but definitely a leg lock submission, which is... definitely usually how a much smaller opponent might defeat a larger, stronger opponent, for
yeah.
sure. That is like a very, it's one of the great equalizers of grappling is like, if you can get a fucking leg lock on, it doesn't matter if they're a lot bigger than you or if you're not in the most advantageous position otherwise, you can end that shit. You can give them a very bad day. So, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So I was watching it, and both of them looked very much like this is a new thing, a relatively new thing. Combat jiu-jitsu, which is jiu-jitsu, it's a grappling competition, but with slapping.
That sounds like the ideal sport to me.
I mean, it's. It is. So Eddie Bravo, I'll give you a tiny bit of backstory.
Okay.
Eddie Bravo is an MMA guy you might know. He is famous for the 10th Planet system of gyms. He kind of revolutionized a lot of things about sort of grappling for sports. He created the EBI Eddie Bravo Invitational, which is like a really fun, awesome rule set for grappling. And it's grappling specifically. There's not punching and kicking, basically.
Got
so it's wrestling and judo moves on the floor. Sorry, on the feet. And then all, you know, sort of jiu-jitsu on the floor. Submission-only tournament, but with a really cool rule set where if you go into overtime without a submission, you basically flip a coin. And there are three different positions you start in. It's like somebody takes somebody else's back, and if you can get out faster than the submission, there's like a whole bunch of rules, but it's like a really cool thing where it's like, all right, you go into your regular time, and then after that, there's like a series of sort of sudden death matches in like advantageous or disadvantageous positions. I've done tournaments like this that had rules like this, and they're fucking awesome. Sub-only jiu-jitsu is exciting. It's fun. I think it's more fun to watch. Anyway. Okay, so Eddie Bravo does this. He makes these really cool tournaments. They're on Fight Pass, so they're the kind of thing where, you know, MMA fans might watch grappling for the first time. It may have been on an Eddie Bravo Invitational because it's like, oh, this is so exciting. This is so cool. There's a few kind of promotions now that are doing this type of thing, but it was kind of one of the first that really caught on a bit and got exciting. And a lot of MMA fighters will go into these tournaments because it's like, hey, this is like another cool way to show off some of my skills, right?
For sure, yeah.
Well, lately, there haven't been a lot of traditional EBIs. There have been combat jiu-jitsu EBIs, which is, again, jiu-jitsu with slapping. And you can only slap, however, I believe, if you're in the top position. So you can only slap somebody who's, like, below you. And it has to be open hand palm strikes.
Right.
You can't be, like, slapping at the back of your hand or whatever else. I'm going to be honest. I don't love it.
Okay.
I love jiu-jitsu. I love grappling. I love the exciting rule sets. The slapping thing is so distracting to me, especially because it really kind of kills some of the bottom game aspects. Yeah. Like, I love playing from guard. I have a lot of fun there, but I know it's not as viable in a lot of more quote unquote realistic circumstances, right? Like, so if somebody is on top of you in a street fight, they do have an advantage because they can punch you in the face, right? Like, that's just a thing that exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for MMA grappling, you know, top position is much more dominant than bottom position. But in like pure grappling, they're actually fairly equal.
Right.
Because you can completely control somebody with your legs. As they do, there's a lot of guard work actually done in these matches, which is really cool to see. And again, I love it so much because it's like, especially sometimes if you're the smaller person, it might be really advantageous for you to play bottom because then you can use your legs, which are much stronger than somebody else's arms, most likely, unless there's like such a weight disparity that it's like completely unfair.
And
right?
Suzuki has some like great, he does great leg work.
Yes. It's really exciting. It's really, really fun and cool. And like you learn even as like for me, like a much smaller grappler, you know, I'm a pretty small woman. Like I can put a giant dude who has more than 100 pounds on me in my guard and fairly decently control them. Like it's fucking awesome. Like how much power you have with your legs. So, yeah, I always love seeing that. The combat jiu-jitsu just kind of did that thing where it's like, OK, the cool thing about jiu-jitsu or one of the cool things about jiu-jitsu is that you can play both positions, and this makes it super not viable to play bottom. And
that
it's like,
makes sense, yeah.
I mean, I think if you're going to be able to
slap people, you should be able to slap people from any position, right?
Right,
like,
you know
that
what
seems
I'm saying?
That seems, like, silly.
It's just
you should be able to slap somebody from the bottom.
Way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless I'm misunderstanding something. I've watched a couple of them and just kind of turned them off because I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, because it's like, okay, if you're going to have MMA, have MMA. Have punching and kicking. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to make something more realistic, quote unquote, again, this is all within the rules of a sport. Obviously, right. I'm not saying this is a street fight situation. It's not. Those are very, very different. So within the context of like a sport with regulations and rules, if you're going to have this slightly more realistic, quote unquote, rule set, just make it realistic. Make it punching and kicking. But anyway.
Parts so did you this, enjoy these or not?
I
then?
Loved these. I really love these because there's some great grappling exchanges and like some really nice takedowns, some really nice work from the guard. And also like I don't love leg locks. This is a problem for me because I'm not good at them yet. But I love the idea of them so much. Also, my partner submits me with them. Pretty much that's like what they get me with these days. Like it's a lot of leg locks, some chokes here and there, but a lot of leg locks. So I have like a natural like grr for them. However, I think as I evolve as a grappler, as I get better as a grappler, they're going to absolutely be a huge part of my game. Cause I'm always going to be small for my weight class.
That seems so like a, that seems like a good tool for if you're being the small one.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're being the Minoru Suzuki to the Ken Shamrock.
Exactly. So I have like a thing in my heart where I'm going in that direction. And so I loved seeing that because it's, God, it is just so demoralizing when you see like the big, big guy just squash somebody. And you're just like, well, good for you, asshole. Good for you. You're squashing them with your muscle. You're not doing shit.
Yeah.
But then it's not that you're not doing shit. Sorry. That's like phrasing it very poorly. But like, yeah, okay, good for you. You muscled into something versus, oh shit, you saw a great opening and you made that muscle man pay.
Like,
that's fucking cool as hell. So I loved that finish. One thing I didn't like was it felt like they were holding the submissions longer after the person tapped than I like to see. Like, also because it just hurts me. Like, when I see a submission and I see somebody tap, I'm like, I want to see them let go that second.
Yeah.
Just be like, okay,
that's
I won,
the theatrics.
I'm good.
That's the theatrics when you're trained as a pro wrestler.
Okay. So that is a thing where maybe they actually loosened up, but they kept it looking like.
I mean, especially in the Shamrock match, like that, which was a work, which was, I mean, I don't know if it's a work or if it's, so a work is like, so there's a work, there's something that's like fixed, there's,
sure.
Like, and those are slightly different.
Okay.
Because in a work, you're like the whole thing is more or less planned out.
Okay.
And like there's a structure that you kind of plan out. Like a work, that's like a true pro wrestling match. It's at least as far as I understand it from reading so many message board threads of just yeah. random dudes acting very confident about their expertise. So,
yeah. Fair.
So if, you know, All Japan Lover 69420 back in 2007 said this. I'm repeating it as if it's fact.
Good.
But yeah. And that whereas like a fixed fight would be like you just know the outcome and everything else before that you can do it for real as long as the right outcome happens.
Okay.
There are things like throne fights, which I guess also happen every once in a while in Pancrase, where like one person would think it was real and the other person would throw it.
Oh my God.
Because they would know like what the outcome was supposed to be. This isn't with pro wrestling now.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it's not real. Everybody knows it's predetermined. It's, you know, the post kayfabe era. Is yes. what, you know, the smart mark era, whatever. That doesn't so much exist for this stuff because it didn't continue in the same way, this company.
Right.
And this isn't the direction MMA went in.
Yes.
Overall as a sport. So this just kind of exists as this like little pocket of mystery in history. In another country where people speak a different language, where maybe it's better known what was real and what wasn't and how it went and how it worked. But there are, you know, like reading through how people talk about these fights, it does sound like there were some where like it would be, you know, one of the people running the company, like a Funaki, and yeah. who would lose on purpose to somebody who thought it was real.
Oh, wow. That's truly wild and really fascinating.
Yeah.
I do really love the idea of this as not just a hybrid, but also like a hybrid of times.
Yeah.
Like a coming together of different roots of MMA and pro wrestling, like it, as they branched out into different paths in the multiverse, like there's this multiverse where this is still going on kind of thing. Like
fascinating to me. Yeah. And I guess there are still like Josh Barnett, who's an MMA guy, but also a catch wrestling, shoot wrestling guy. He does an annual pro wrestling show called Blood. Actually, yeah, he did called Bloodsport. That's I guess a worked shoot.
Okay.
So it's kind of like it is this kind of style of hybrid, and he was also a Pancras guy way back when. So it's this, yeah, it's this like I guess the outcome is predetermined, but what actually happens in there isn't.
That's so, like, so interesting.
Yeah. And again, like, please, if I'm wrong about what a worked shoot is or what a fixed match is, please correct me because this is not my area, but it's so fascinating to me. And when I was reading up on this, like, there were other stories, like there's this 30-minute long amazing fight that's Rutten and Funaki. It's wow. like 30 something. It's like 30 minutes. And
wow.
what happened was I believe that's the one that Funaki loses because he could have won it very early on, but he wanted to make it a better show as somebody who's a pro wrestler.
Wow.
That's the priority is the showmanship, the entertainment. So he ended up losing because he prolonged it.
That's like, wild.
Yeah, stuff like that is so, so interesting to me. And if that's just a myth or a legend, it's a great myth. That's like a great story to have about what, you know, what's going on. And like sometimes they like you'd have these guys who would be like really, really familiar with each other who would do fights that were more like spars mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, it's real, but we're not trying to get the win as fast as possible. You want to like have your opponent have a chance to kind of show their skills and give you a chance to try something new and make it entertaining.
Yeah.
Make it more, you know, so like these theatrical spars.
That's so
cool. Which is such a cool concept to me. And I thought would be like really, would be interesting to you too as one of the, you know, of the people I know, probably the biggest fan of sparring in your life.
Oh, it is. It is like my bread and butter. It is like what makes me
feel right now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just lucky that I can still spar with my partner.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, that sounds, God, that sounds so incredible. This is like touching a really, really exciting and fun nerve where like, I even notice, because Vicky and I have been streaming some of our sparring, where like, I might, you know, not really like intentionally, but like I might go for some more flashy moves if I know I'm on camera, right?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I might do something that's a little more like, oh, I could get out of this position right now, but what if I try something else here? Or what if I go for something really stupid, but who cares? Because it's fun to watch. Like there are times where I'm like, I'm diving for it. Like, I don't care. You know, like this isn't for, you know, this isn't going on any kind of fight record, which mine is abysmal anyway. So it's fine. Like, it's like, whatever. I just kind of going for it. I respect that on so many levels of like, no, I'm not going to finish this fight right away. I'm going to make this one interesting. Like, I have fun with this. You know, there's something so appealing about that because people are there to watch, right? Like,
yeah.
People are there to see you be awesome and do awesome things and fight another human being and like go for it. You know, that's super fun. That sounds super, super cool.
And I feel like the Funaki Suzuki match felt pretty legit to me. But there is an air of, and again, no expertise here. I have no fucking idea what I'm talking about. It just seems that way. But, like, there is a sense of familiarity with both of them where it's obvious they have sparred a lot and they have practiced together a lot because they've founded a company together and trained, you know, under the same guy, which I find really interesting to watch. And also, like, I feel like that's not something I have seen at all in MMA, and I don't – not something I see a ton in pro wrestling either because the pro wrestling matches I watch are these kind of, you know, planned out dramas and – but just that, like – I don't know. But yeah, the sense of familiarity and like, yeah, we do this all the time. And now we're doing this in a more real way.
Yeah. It actually happened twice in the last competition that we did as a team. Twice we had matches where people were matched up against training partners from our own gym. Jaime and Berto, Jaime, who was on the show, and his brother, Berto, they got matched together. And they, I think I told you about this, but like they did, they sparred for a little while and then like did like pro wrestling moves to end the match. Like it was actually very, it was so adorable. I'll show you a video someday. Like it was like very obvious, like that they were doing like, you know, funny moves to be like amusing. Cause like they didn't care who won. Like it was like, whatever, we're brothers and we're from the same gym. Like, and then two women on the team actually got matched together for the, I think it was a medal match. I think it was gold and silver. So it was like the gold medal match in the, I think the like white belt 120 and under division. So like, that was like a, oh God, who do we root for? Like, cause all of us are there in our little gear from the gym and we're always going wild and, you know, supporting each other. And there's always like, you know, somebody's coaching, somebody's in like the coaching chair when we compete. And it was like, oh God, who coaches who? Like, what? Shit. Like, this is a very funny moment. But like, yeah, you know that person so well. You know their moves. You know their game. You know what they're going to do. And it's like, there's a wonderful playfulness to that. And like, there is, first of all, like a terror to that, right? Like, I could be matched with Vicky. Like, if we go in the same weight class, which we might someday, like, like we can get matched together because we're the same level and about the same size and like, fuck, there's part of that that's actually really scary, especially because that's my romantic partner, right? Like I don't want to make that person feel bad ever in my life, like ever. You know, we spar a lot and yes, we get each other in possibly like painful positions sometimes, but we're always like being careful for each other's health, of course.
Of course.
And, like, you always do that as a good sports person anyway, with like, you know, you don't want to do like a dangerous submission on somebody if that's not your level, like ever, just because you don't want to be an asshole. But like, there's also an incredible familiarity and an incredible sense of like, I really know this person's game. They really know my game. Therefore, we can get the best out of each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we can really get something amazing out of each other if we know where to push and where to pull. And there's like, man, there's just something so appealing about that to me. And seeing that in this match was the coolest thing. There was this familiarity. There was this like extra intensity to that. That is just, oh, chef's kiss. Like, you just want to see that performance, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
And I found this just, I found this up generally, like I watched a bunch of Pancrase, like trying to pick what we were going to watch. And I just found all of it a lot more like just instantly watchable and accessible than I've generally found the MMA stuff we've watched.
Sure.
And I think a lot of it has to do with like the theatrics and just little like facial expressions. And just also, I mean, like I was watching a lot of Funaki and a lot of Suzuki, and they are both just so talented.
Oh my God, yes.
And I mean, I'm much more familiar with Suzuki's pro wrestling than I am with Funaki's pro wrestling, but both just incredibly talented wrestlers, like in the pro wrestling side, and grapplers in the legitimate wrestling side.
Yeah.
So yeah, just like a real pleasure to watch. And yeah, the just a little bit little level of theater added to it really helped me out. The other thing I realized as I tweeted about last night after dinner, walking back to my laptop, like, what was I doing? Like, I walk back, I'm like, it was something. I was looking at something really sexual, so I must have finished all my work. And then I will sit back down, and it's the Funaki Suzuki bite that I paused and ran to the other room because the rice cooker went off. I was like, oh no, I was working and it's this. And I'm like, oh, okay. I understand why MMA as a whole didn't go with this aesthetic for presentation.
I know.
Because just breathing and grappling with no commentary and like
so
no cage, just these ropes and
so
little
intense.
Shorts. I'm like, this is a lot.
It's so much. Yeah, it was really, really, really intense. It's like, it reminded me of what it feels like to compete.
Really?
Like, you are vaguely aware of the rest of the world. You do get this wild tunnel vision. And it's really scary at first. Like, your first match, my first match, I almost barfed just from the intensity.
Damn.
Like, just from the adrenaline dump. That is a real ass thing. Like, I ran off the mat and ran to the bathroom. And I was fine. Like, I was completely fine. I just needed to breathe. But, like, it's so intense because you are just there. And it's that other person. And even if you've been sparring for years and years, it's not the same as when people are watching you and screaming for you. And there's another person there who's also really nervous and really hyped up and amped up. And it's like, you're sort of aware of the rest of the world, but it's almost as if, like, the lights go out on the rest of the world. And there's this other person with you. And you feel them breathing. You can hear them breathing, but you can feel them breathing because you're grappling with them. You're touching them, right? It is one of the most intense sensations I've ever had in my entire life. And like, I don't know.
And you run
I haven't
up
jumped
hills.
Out of any planes or like anything like that. So I don't know what I have to compare it to, I guess. But like that amount of adrenaline, like, supersedes like most 911 calls I've been on. It's more intense than most like real life fighting situations I've been in. Like,
yeah,
I don't know why, because I probably should have been more scared about those. But like, it's, I don't know. I think because those happen so fast, and then there's like a buildup to when you're actually
like
competing.
It's like a different kind of adrenaline, right? Because that's like actual survival adrenaline.
Yes.
Whereas
and things
I would
just
imagine
happen so fast.
Competition. Yeah. Because I mean, our bodies are more we have that in our like, you know, DNA memory or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like fighting. Yeah. We know how to do that. We are animals. That is a thing that all of us do.
Yeah.
Back into
and this is more
millions.
Like, okay, you're going on in 5 minutes, you're going on in 2 minutes, you're going on
which
like
is such an unnatural
flipping out.
Yeah, it's so you get the combination of like a little bit of fight adrenaline, like you do need, you have some fight adrenaline, but also performance adrenaline, competition adrenaline, sports adrenaline.
All your friends are watching you. They're screaming for you. You don't want to screw up in front of them, you know?
Yeah.
Performance anxiety, you know, like.
Yeah, of course.
All of that.
I did youth group theater. I remember that.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I did in college. I did theater and improv in college. Like, I was on the improv team.
Oh!
Yeah, I know. Little dorky Danielle, sports okay. and improv and theater. All the nerd jock divide, something I just sort of stretched my tiny body across.
I respect it.
Good. Yeah, but that really brought me back to that. Like that intense, like heavy yeah. breathing, and it was just like, oh my God, I can feel what these guys are feeling almost, you know?
And yeah, so I'm sitting there watching this, like, I get why people would want a Joe Rogan to diffuse this tension.
Yeah. Yeah.
To just like, you
He's
know.
He's tired, Mike.
I mean, I get that now. It's like, okay. Yeah. I see why someone would want this, because this is very intense to be watching. Like, I watched like an hour of these.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God.
I could do that, though. Like, I would absolutely watch more Pancrase.
Oh,
like,
my God. I can just give you some. We can, like, thank you. Also, huge shout out to Emily Pratt, who was somebody who, like, is a dear friend who went into my DMs, like, a long time ago and was like, you need to watch classic Pancrase. You need to. and when I put the call out, like, what Pancrase should me and Danielle watch for this, was just, like, just go to YouTube and... like Funaki and Suzuki's, like, some of their best stuff is just like in playlists on YouTube. So thank you, Emily. Very smart, does great New Japan coverage for UpRocks. Wrote a great Dragon Gate intro guide for Fan Fight. Great thing, speaking of intensity and two people like being on each other, a great thing about Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa and how they just need to fuck for Fan Fight yeah. recently. Love you,
that's
Emily.
That's awesome.
But yeah, like, no, these are so watchable and a real treat, like a real, I get why Pancrase doesn't do it like this anymore, because this is sure. what MMA exists now and has a form.
Yeah.
But this is a very watchable format for me.
Oh my God. Yes.
And a very watchable aesthetic and a very watchable style. That I really enjoy. So
I super agree. There is, I mentioned a couple of times, I think, there is a grappling promotion now called Quintet out of Japan.
Yeah. We should have some of that.
It is like the, you know, it's not worked. It's not right. fixed. It is like a grappling competition, the sport, but it has a little bit of that pageantry, has yeah. a little bit of that flair. People do come out in like special uniforms. There are little promos for like the teams, because it's all team based. It's five Cute. People on okay. five people, and the matches are really fun because it's like, okay, person one from this team goes against person one from this team, and whoever wins stays in. So you could conceivably have one person face five different people, and if nobody gets submitted, they both go out. So like, there's so much strategy, and the cool thing is the whole team weighs in at one weight, so there are smaller people and bigger people.
That's
like
so
sort
cool
of
the combined
the
weight.
Yeah, it's really really rad. They do have a special rule where the smaller person, if you draw a match with a much bigger person, there's like a pound rule or kilogram rule or whatever, the smaller person gets to decide if they want to go the full time or a half time of the match.
Okay.
As like just a fairness thing, like you get yeah. to decide like whatever you want. And then, yeah, it's really, really fun. So it has that little team aspect. It has that little pageantry and flair. Like, they have cute uniforms that they wear, like they make.
So cool.
I
we should watch some of that.
Yeah, I think it would be really fun. I obviously, like, I know grappling doesn't always look great all the time, but
I love to see grappling, though.
Okay, good. Okay, good. We should definitely watch one. There have been a few. There's one that's been a women's competition, which is really cool. They had several MMA fighters show up for that, which is really, really super rad. And then a bunch of dude competitions. And they've all been super fun to watch. So, yeah, maybe I'll get some bits and pieces of that for a future pod. That might be a fun
yeah.
one to do.
Yeah. That sounds Quintet. Exciting.
Quintet. LB, thank you so much for bringing these excellent, excellent things to watch.
Oh my gosh,
really
I'm so
them.
Glad we did them. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to like, I would actually really like you. Minoru Suzuki, I have to just say, like, is one of my yeah. favorite pro wrestlers. He is still wrestling. He's fantastic. He
amazing.
Is
amazing.
Not this, you know, he is such like a perfect, beautiful, handsome like Disney prince in the 90s. Yeah. And he, let me just like send you a little picture of what he looks like now.
Oh, I love a little picture.
Here we go. Yeah. This is actually, this is the header image on a great Fightland piece called The Brutal Catch Wrestling of Minoru Suzuki that was really helpful putting this episode together.
Oh, awesome.
This is him now.
Oh my God, I love him.
Yeah. He has this like crazy shaved patterns into his hair. He's a super heel. He has a faction called Suzuki Goon, which is the Suzuki Army. Zack Sabre Jr., who was in the first match we watched, he is like in that group. So they
my God.
Yeah, Suzuki gets mad all the time. He's just brutal. He beats people up. He loves beating up trainees. He like loves just bullying the young lions. He is obsessed with the anime One Piece. To the extent that for his 50th birthday, he did a, I'm sending you another picture.
I love him.
He did an outdoor wrestling and music culture event that was free to the public. It was pouring rain the day he had this match that I sent you a picture of against Kazuchika Okada, who at the time, I think he was at the time the New Japan champion, one of the best in the world. Pouring rain, just nothing but drama. It was a pirate-themed festival because of One Piece.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And he, like, the rules where it was free admission, but if you were, but children all got to stand in the front.
Oh, that's so good.
Because, like, that's what wrestling's about. So it's like, he's a super heel. He's a bully. Like, his wrestling persona, his wrestling nickname is the man with the worst personality in the world. but he's like, but then he'll like do these events and do an interview about how wrestling's for the people and like for the tough kids need to see it and like how, yeah, everything should be free to everybody. And then he like went and I think picked up all the recycling afterwards.
Oh my God, I love him.
And he even has like a little symbol that's like a combination of him, like his hair and like tongue pose with the One Piece logo.
Oh, good.
He's obsessed with One Piece. Like, I think he has a, I believe he has a podcast about it.
Oh, my God.
And he's 51 years old.
God. Like,
yeah.
What a god of the world. Like, incredible.
Yeah, he is. I've seen him perform live. He has this incredible entrance music called Kaze ni Nare, which I believe means like become the wind or something. And he just comes out with a like a towel over his head, like moves really slowly while this like incredibly dramatic music swells. And even though he's the heel, even though he's the bad guy, he's always the bad guy. He's never the good guy anymore. Like, he expects everyone to clap along with the music and then sing the title line when it hits, which is an amazing experience to be part of. To like sing along, and I often will sing it along at home. Even like the WrestleSplania, also shout out to, they did a great episode on Minoru Suzuki. If you want to learn more about his pro wrestling career, listeners,
I think I will, because I want to know more about this man. He's so intriguing.
When WrestleSplania on the Discord channel, which again, like if you want to be, if you want to talk about wrestling with a great group of people, I cannot recommend that Discord channel enough. Nice. I have since left it because I'm trying to get a better balance of what I do on Discord, but I miss you all so much. WrestleSplania Discord live, but for live watching New Japan events late at night, one way to tell how much delay everybody has is everybody will type out Kaze ni Nare during his song at the same time because that like that when it hits, like it's great. He is
so good.
He is incredible. Still really talented. His promos are such that, like in Onita, who I talked about on Fan Fight VCR this week with Colette, is somebody who, like, cuts a promo and you don't need subtitles to understand the emotion intention of what he's saying. And again, very different from Onita because Suzuki now, it's just, like, menace. It's just him being really scary. But yeah, I adore him and... seeing, like, being introduced to him as this, like, scary middle-aged man with a crazy haircut and just, like, a thirst for blood, and then seeing him as this fucking Disney prince, like, perfect
man,
bone structure, the like, floofy hair, just so beautiful. It's like, it never gets old to me. I love that. So yeah, I just had to get me in my little gushing about Minoru Suzuki thing. And we should do a Suzuki match soon.
I am so intrigued. I am so intrigued by him. I'm going to have to listen to that episode.
He has a perfect understanding of what pro wrestling is.
Nice.
Which is, to me, more like the most important thing a wrestler can have. Even beyond just in-ring skill. Just like knowing what it is they're doing. And he like knows exactly what he's doing, which... So respect to you, sir. The man with the worst personality in the world.
Truly respect. Truly inspiring. Truly a wonderful time. I'm so, so glad.
Actually, he was booked to wrestle Orange Cassidy at an indie show, WrestleMania week, that got canceled.
Oh, sure.
So hopefully that match will get rescheduled because, boy, do I want to see that happen.
That sounds amazing. And I know what's going on with that. Like, I would.
You know both those guys.
I know both those guys. Like, I'd be excited now to, you know, when things are safe. Not anytime before that. I would like to make that clear. But when things are safe, I would love to watch like a piece that's happening live. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to actually see like where my newfound knowledge takes me with that. That would be so rad.
I would love that too. I think that's something we can look forward to. But again, when things are safe.
Yes.
Because while wrestling is continuing, it's not fun to watch right now.
Yeah, it really isn't. I don't want anybody to get sick at all. I don't want that. So, yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you, Elby. Thank you for bringing such good stuff. You always bring the best stuff. It makes me very happy.
I said this on VCR the other day. You give me the best stuff. Like, I know I would not be able to get into real fights if it weren't for your guidance. Because I've tried looking at a few things that you didn't give me, and I'm like, whatever. I don't care about this. This isn't painstakingly curated for me by Danielle Rando. What am I supposed to do with it?
Yeah, right. It's like very, I mean, it's so catered also to my taste. Like, I'm such a grappler that I'm like, look at this great grappling. I think great striking is cool too. I just don't think it's as cool as great grappling. So I can't help it, you know?
I mean, I gave you a Zack Sabre Jr. match in episode one. So I also enjoy some good grappling.
Oh, fuck yes. Yeah. I'm so glad. See, this is the point of our podcast, and we're making it happen, and it's a beautiful thing. I think it's a beautiful thing.
It is beautiful.
Yeah. We're doing the Predator handshake across the like, not very big gulf at all between the things that we love, and I think that's great.
I feel like with this Predator handshake, though, like, it's a little twistier, and, like, somebody's on their stomach, and somebody else is, like... You know, like, maybe it's like the Predator handshake.
Actually.
I was trying to do it as like a choke where like my arms around my neck, reaching behind, and like we're shaking hands.
I hate wrist locks so much. I'm not going to lie.
They sound very painful. Again, I've never been any kind of submission. I guess I've been in a hammer lock.
Well, they also hurt because I have a bad wrist.
Oh,
and I have to
terrible
tell
wrists.
Every new sparring partner, I'm like, please don't wrist lock me on this wrist. I will tap immediately. And also, I'll be really sad. So just, can you not touch this wrist, please? Like, when I train, I wear a wrist sleeve so people know which one it is.
Yeah.
In competition, they could get it legally, and I will just tap. I'll be like, you know what? That's my Achilles. It's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's your mythological Achilles heel,
not your actual tendon.
Exactly.
I got you.
Yeah, my Achilles is fine at the moment, you know. We'll see after I spar with Vicky again, but yeah.
Oh, Vicky.
They always go after those goddamn heel hooks. Not heel hooks, actually. They see the heel hooks, and we're just not advanced enough to do them yet. So we'll be sitting there in these, like, wild heel hook positions, and we both go, that's a heel hook. That's a heel hook. And then, like, later when we're brown belts, we'll be destroying each other with them. But until then, It is straight ankle locks and knee bars for us blue belts.
That's so cute, though.
Oh,
I love hearing about your sparring times.
Oh, thanks. We're having fun with it. I mean, we're going to get real good at grappling each other. I just hope some of it like translates when we're
Maybe it's going to have to be like you and Vicky who start like, you know, the spiritual like heir to Pancrase. Like,
oh my God, what if we did?
Yeah.
What if we made just like gay Pancrase?
Yeah, so I'm thinking gay Pancrase. Like, that's it.
Pancrase.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could do, I think there's a lot of like potential there. I think with the spread of different kinds of wrestling and combat, like combat sports, I think the market for that is going to be pretty big. So
honestly, yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, we need more gay grappling.
Yes. I think so too. Triangles everywhere. Shout outs to the gay grappling club. It's worldwide, actually. It's called Triangles Everywhere. It's very cute because, you know, triangles.
Yeah.
It's good. Yep. They are everywhere. I've been finding them everywhere lately. It's fun. But anyway, I guess enough about my grapples. And I guess we'll take us out on that high spirited note.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, be safe out there and have fun. And bring the spirit of Pancrase with you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, bring that. Bring that
with
you.
Do it for real when it's the right time to do it for real.
Yeah.
But just, like, bring your flair.
Bring your flair, too. You know what I'm saying? Bring a little flair with you.
Why not?
Amazing. I didn't read our little outro here, but that's that's the outro spirit. You know what I'm saying? So, we hope you enjoyed your combat sports entertainment journey with us. Thank you so much for being here. Please do rate and review our podcast and listen to all our good stuff at fanbyte.com/podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Fanbyte Media and at Fanfight, FANFYTE. Instagram at Fanbyte, TikTok at Fanbyte, and of course, fanbyte.com. And you can also watch all our good streams on twitch.tv/fanbyte. And check out all our wrestling coverage at fanbyte.com/wrestling. Elby, where else can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at HunkTears. Everything else is pretty much all the stuff Danielle already said. Please check out Fanfight VCR. Yeah. It's the new, we tier two episodes in. Me and Colette Arend looking at old tapes of wrestling. If you were into 90s Japanese stuff, we did the FMW six-man exploding pool match this week.
My God.
Such an absolute treat. Such a fun time talking to Colette about it. I'm really enjoying making that show. You know, if you're a tape trading freak or an aspiring tape trading freak, like, please check it out. And I'm up to.
I've only watched the video thus far of the boat sequence, George Washington boat sequence. It is the greatest thing ever, I need to watch the match and listen to the whole episode. I would listen to the episode first
for some content warnings.
Okay, content warnings first.
Gotcha. Yeah, because there is some stabbing. Okay. With a sickle.
Okay. Good.
In that match.
Which is a challenge to watch. Oh, gotcha.
But as we discussed, perfectly safe. So, yeah. So please check that out. Check out everything on the feeds, as Danielle mentioned, and all the good writing on Fanfight.
Hell yes. If you want to find me online and you don't already know where I live, it's I live on Twitter at Danielle RI. LB, what kind of sound do you want to make to close this out today?
Do you want to do like a tap? Like, why don't we tap out?
Yeah, tap.
Like, all right. Yeah, like Funaki's got us both in like Rear Naked Choke. Like, no. So, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Three, two, one.